In these final days of the liturgical year, we read some of the final instructions of Jesus from the Gospel according to Luke. If we thought that yesterday's Gospel was a heavy one, this one's even heavier. Yesterday it was about the destruction of the temple and about the end of the world. Things being torn down and cosmic disturbances and plagues and famines and wars. As heavy as that is, we understand that earthly things fade away. That's just part of the nature of things. But in today's gospel, it's worse because it's not simply earthquakes and plagues. It's betrayal, it's persecution, it's deliberate actions against believers. And Jesus is quite blunt about this. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put in prison. You're going to suffer for my name. Even your own relatives are going to betray you and hand you over. This gospel goes very well with the saints that we're honoring today. Today is the feast day of the Vietnamese martyrs, St. Andrew Blumlock and his companions, 117 heroic Christians from the 19th century in Vietnam. This gospel also is a very appropriate one for the observance that is being declared today, Red Wednesday. That's not a liturgical event, but it's a significant church event. Red Wednesday is an initiative of the Aid to the Church in Need, an international Catholic aid organization. And the idea is to pray for our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters all over the world and to put the spotlight on their sufferings, because this is a huge problem that often is not even mentioned. They say that about 75% of religious violence in the world is against Christians. Christians are the, by far, most common target of religious persecution. And in the world, there are about 200 million of our brothers and sisters who are not free to practice their religion. So that's a huge number of people. Some of them are in Vietnam, which is the country of today's saints. But we can think of Christians in China, Christians in Iran, or Christians in North Korea, or in many places, in Saudi Arabia, or many places where the faith is not just looked down on or questioned in a social way. It's outlawed. It's a severe civil crime to even be a Christian or to convert to Christianity. So there are millions, hundreds of millions of people who are under this kind of threat. Most of them are not being killed exactly, but they live in fear. They lose their positions in society, their properties, their jobs. Their connections with their families are strained, so a lot of terrible suffering. So as I say, today's gospel, it is relevant. It was relevant to the time of Jesus' own disciples. I mean, he's speaking to people who are going to experience what he says in the first century. But he's also speaking to the Vietnamese of the 19th century, the martyrs, and he's also speaking to Christians of the 21st century. That's why we're observing this Red Wednesday. Now, when we think about this heavy message, we should see the two sides of it. On the one side, the side that strikes us first, the negative side, this is a terrible evil. It's not right for Christians to be persecuted. That should not happen. It's an effect of sin. It's actions of evil men, evil governments, and that we can never simply say, "Oh, that's just the way it is, and that's fine." It's not fine. We have to we have to raise our voice against what is evil. Certainly in today's gospel, when Jesus says that kings and governors and synagogues and prisons and parents and brothers and relatives and friends are going to persecute believers, we say, well, that should not happen. That's one side of the picture, the evil side. But because God is in charge of the world, there's another side to the picture, and that is that God and his followers are not defeated by evil. That's why we celebrate the martyrs. Andrew Dunlop and his companions, they were tortured and killed. Now they reign in glory in heaven. They're not complaining about their sufferings. Jesus himself in his gospel says that when these terrible things happen, it will lead to your giving testimony. Somehow the evil being done to you will give you an opportunity to live and proclaim your faith. He says you're going to be hated by all, and some of you are going to be killed, but not a hair of your head will be destroyed. Speaking about the spiritual life, I mean, yeah, if you're killed, your hairs are cut off. But he's saying you don't have to worry about being destroyed because I'm taking care of you. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. The positive side of this is that God uses even evil for his purposes. That's why he allows it in the first place. If he were not going to use it, he would not allow it. But in his own mysterious, powerful providence, he takes even what is evil and uses it for good. So we don't have to live in fear of what we hear in these gospel readings. And Jesus himself says, don't be afraid of this. You should know about it, know the truth, have a good, honest evaluation of the situation of believers in a fallen world. Know that evil will happen, but don't live in fear of it, because when you face these situations, I will give you what to say, and I will strengthen you to deal with the sufferings of the moment. Sometimes it can strike us as being imbalanced or unfair that it's the believers who have to suffer. We think, well, bad people are the ones who should suffer, not good people. Even the first reading today might strike us as being a little odd. Here's King Belshazzar having his drunken party with all his buddies, and using the sacred vessels and practicing pagan rituals. You say, well, that's the kind of guy who should be persecuted. That's the kind of person who should be knocked down by the power of God. But no, all he gets is handwriting on the wall. He's given a sign that his life is moving in the wrong direction. It terrifies him. But it's actually a pretty gentle thing to do. It's not a persecution. It's a sign. Now, as often happens with unbelievers, they don't know how to read the signs. They don't know how to interpret what God is doing. It's up to believers to make known the mysteries of God to those who can't read the handwriting on the wall, who can't read the signs. So Daniel is brought in the first reading. Daniel, who is himself in exile. He is himself in a kind of custody of a foreign power. He's brought in. Remember, he had passed through enough persecution of his own. He's brought in to give the king an understanding of what these mysterious letters mean, what this mysterious writing means. It's, as I'm interpreting it for us, We who are believers are the ones who can read the signs of the times. And it's our responsibility to, in whatever way we can, make known the gospel, make known the good news in a time when there's plenty of bad news, so that people have an opportunity to repent. people have an opportunity to welcome with joy the gift of faith. Now, don't approach people who are weak in faith or who don't have faith with stories of persecution, because that only frightens them away. But it is part of the gospel. Part of the gospel is that when we commit ourselves to following Jesus, we will suffer for it. And that's not all bad. It's certainly a bad thing on the part of those who persecute. But those who suffer persecution are given an opportunity to bear witness. They're given an opportunity to have stronger faith, to rely even more on God, and that's good. Some of the holiest saints are those who suffered the most for the faith. In other words, they benefited the most from the evil done to them. So that's a fuller perspective that's important for us to keep when we read or ponder not only difficult passages like today's gospel, but also when we encounter sufferings in our own time. Persecution or other kinds of difficulties, tribulations. These things are never supposed to defeat us because we belong to God. We are children of God, and we rely on Him no matter what happens. So with hope, with confidence, even with joy, we can persevere through the difficult days of life in this world.